Hello and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies with your speaker, Chris McCann. If you'd like more information or to hear more studies, visit our website at www.ebiblefellowship.com. And now with your evening Bible study, here's Chris McCann.
Good evening and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible Study in the Book of Revelation. Tonight is study number 5 of Revelation chapter 8, and we're going to be reading Revelation 8 verses 3 through 5. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And I'll stop reading there. Now, in our last study, we were looking at the altar as God writes about it in the Old Testament. We saw that there was a bronze altar that was used for burnt offering, and there was a certain position where that altar would be found, and there was also a golden altar, which is referred to here in Revelation 8, that was before the throne of God, before the ark, and the high priest of Israel, Aaron, and his descendants, who would be high priests, were to go in and offer incense on the Day of Atonement once a year. And so we were just looking at how God speaks of these two different altars, and we saw that their position is able to tell them apart. One is made of bronze, the other of gold. One was to have burnt offerings offered upon it, and the other was to have incense that would be offered upon it. Well, and then that led us to Numbers chapter 16. And in Numbers 16, we have a historical account that God has recorded for us of a rebellion that took place in the wilderness after Israel came out of Egypt. There were men of renown, men famous in the congregation, that rose up and accused Moses and Aaron of taking too much upon themselves, because all the congregation are holy. And so a test was devised, and the test had to do with every man taking a censer and putting incense thereon and fire, and coming before the Lord with that incense. Now, as the 250 men of the congregation did come before the Lord, we read in Numbers 16, verse 35, and there came out a fire from Jehovah and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. And following this, the nation of Israel continued to murmur. The congregation of the children of Israel continued to murmur against Moses and against Aaron, saying, "Ye have killed the people of Jehovah." And so God continued to be displeased, and he sent a plague in which many of them were dying. And then we read, and I want to read this again, in Numbers 16, beginning in verse 46. And Moses said unto Aaron, "Take a censer and put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly unto the congregation, and make an atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from Jehovah, the plague is begun." And Aaron took as Moses commanded, and ran into the midst of the congregation. And behold, the plague was begun among the people, and he put on incense and made an atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. Now they that died in the plague were 14,700, beside them that died about the matter of Korah. And Aaron returned unto Moses, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed. And here we have really a wonderful picture of Aaron as a type of Christ, who in taking the censer and putting fire therein from the altar and putting on incense, as we saw previously, those are things that the high priest would do on the Day of Atonement. And God uses the language as he says, he put on incense and go quickly unto the congregation and make an atonement for them. So it is picturing the atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that atoning work of Christ did stay the plague of God's wrath, the plague of an angry God that was punishing sinners concerning all those that Jesus atoned for. And God is using this opportunity with this rebellion in the camp of Israel to teach us about the true and genuine atoning work of Christ for his elect. And the murmuring Israelites that were spared are being used here as a picture of those elect, even though, since the vast majority of them will perish in the wilderness, they themselves never became saved. But in this picture, it is as though the ones spared from this particular plague are picturing those elect that Christ saved, as he did make atonement for their sins from the foundation of the world. So we have two pictures of atonement. We have the 250 men famous in the congregation. They also had censers. They also had fire and incense and went before Jehovah. And yet their offering was not acceptable. It's similar to Cain and Abel, except in this case, presenting the wrong kind of offering led to their destruction, as they were burned up by the fire that came from the Lord. And the atonement that the 250 men were presenting was a false atoning work. And God here is typifying those that come with other kinds of gospels, and they also use the language of the Bible, and they claim that sins can be forgiven through their kind of gospel, and the number of gospels are so numerous there's no sense even trying to name them. You can get saved in just many varied ways, if depending on which church you enter into. If you go into one church, well, here's what you have to do, the pastor says, to get saved. Just come to our service, walk down the aisle, say the sinner's prayer, and so on. Another church will say, just accept the Lord and you'll be saved. And another will say, well, we want you to come for a few months and then be baptized and you'll be a part of our congregation. And another, you just have to be a member in good standing and partake of the Lord's table and you'll be saved. And some others, well, speaking in tongues is an evidence of the Holy Spirit, and just on and on it goes. And it's all the offering of strange fire before Jehovah. And those men will be burned up literally on the last day, as they will be destroyed, unless at some point during the day of salvation God did save them and they then would have abandoned those kinds of gospels. But any that maintained them and continued within the churches and congregations, they will be destroyed. And even God has lit a spiritual fire in his anger that judged the churches and now has destroyed the third part of the unsaved that were within the churches and congregations, as we have now entered into the world's day of judgment. Well, let's just look at one thing before we continue on or move on, and that is the number that God gives us in verse 49. when he says, "Now they that died in the plague were 14,700, beside them that died about the matter of Korah." Now that's as if God is saying 14,700 plus those that died in the matter of Korah. And we know that 250 men died that offered incense. That means the total number that died in this rebellion was 14,950. And we wonder, well, is there any significance to that number? And when we break out our calculator and we try to find the significant numbers that make up that number, we do find that it is a highly significant number. It breaks down, 14,950 breaks down to 5 times 10 times 13 times 23. And that would equal 14,950. And each one of those numbers is of great significance. For instance, this would say, if we would insert the spiritual meaning for each of the numbers, at the end of the world, that would be the number 13, God will bring judgment, the number 23, upon the complete number of them, the number 10, that offer strange incense in regards or in relationship to the atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ, number 5. And in other words, this points to the final judgment of God upon those that bring other kinds of gospels, the judgment that begins at the house of God, and God then completed that judgment at the end of 23 years. Now it's interesting how we have these very same numbers. After 13,000 years of history, in 1988, God began judging the house of God, and he judged them for 23 years. So we have the number 13 and the number 23. And then after that full 23-year judgment upon the churches, he completed the judgment, and he completed judging those that come offering strange fire, that is, in offering false atonements and offering unto idols or unto Baal or unto the high places this strange fire. And that's what God is typifying here. Now, let's go back into our verse in Revelation 8 and verse 3. "And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer." And as mentioned before, the other angel or another messenger, this would be Jesus Christ. "He came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne." And the word censer is also found, here it's a Greek word, but just as the golden altar came from the Old Testament, so does the word censer. And in the Old Testament, just to help us to get a very good understanding of what the word means, the word censer is also translated as fire pan in Exodus chapter 38. Exodus 38 and verse 3. "And he made all the vessels of the altar, the pots and the shovels and the basins and the flesh hooks and the fire pans. All the vessels thereof made he of brass." Now this fire pan, or this censer, would be made of brass because it had to do with the altar of brass for burnt offering. But there's also censers for the golden altar. And it's a very good, vivid description of what a censer is. It is where the coals of fire would be placed and then incense put thereon. And so it had to be something that could hold the fire, a fire pan. And that's what basically what a censer means. Now, we read in Leviticus chapter 10 of another historical occasion where some men attempted to offer incense, and a very similar result happened as with Korah and that rebellion of the 250 men of renown. In Leviticus 10, in the first couple of verses, verses 1 and 2, it says, "And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer, and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before Jehovah, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from Jehovah and devoured them, and they died before Jehovah." This is a lesser judgment, but it's a judgment for the very same reason. Just as those 250 men should not have done what they did, neither should Nadab and Abihu, even though they were sons of Aaron, they should not have attempted to offer this incense. There was something wrong with their offering that caused it to be strange fire. Now, why would God call it strange fire? Strange fire would be any kind of offering of incense in a censer like this that was not according to the law. Now, it could be something that they did with the censer, or more than likely, it had to do with God just wanting Aaron to approach to the golden altar with the censer, with the fire and incense, and for Aaron to perform that particular service to God and not his sons. So they may have taken something upon themselves that they were not qualified for, just as the 250 men of the congregation. But anyway, they suffer the same fate. Fire went out from Jehovah and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And so God is giving us these examples, true historical examples, in order to teach us the seriousness, the deadly seriousness of bringing the true gospel of salvation, the gospel that the Bible defines, and not going beyond the boundaries or the limits that the Bible puts forth for that gospel. That is that Christ does all the work. He is the one that offers up the atonement for the sake of his people, and man can do no work of any kind, and so on. So we see that God took lives, and God could take anyone's life at any time and be perfectly just in doing so. And so he determined on occasion to take lives, like a man who picked up a few sticks on the Sabbath day and the Lord commanded he be stoned to death. Well, that man was a sinner. Nadab and Abihu were sinners. The 250 men of the congregation were sinners. And God could take their life because of their sin at any point. And so he determined, I'll take their lives now because they're sinners. My wrath is upon them. And while doing so, I'll use it as a means of instruction. I'll use their death to teach others that they might not die as these men died. And so God is, of course, just in all that he does. And here it really is a good thing that God has given us these examples so that we might not follow in the way that these men went. Well, let's go back to Leviticus 16, and I say back because we read this in our last study, but I'd like to read it again because it mentions the word censer. In Leviticus 16, verse 12, and this is a chapter dealing with the Day of Atonement, it says, "And he shall take a censer," this is referring to Aaron, the high priest of Israel. Again, verse 12, and he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before Jehovah, and his hands full of sweet incense beaten small, and bring it within the veil. And he shall put the incense upon the fire before Jehovah, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony, that he die not. And he shall take of the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat eastward. And before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle the blood with his finger seven times. And this is illustrating the work of the Lord Jesus Christ as the high priest would enter into the Holy of Holies, and he would bring the censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar, full of this sweet incense, and then the cloud of incense would cover the mercy seat so he could not see very well, and he would sprinkle the blood of the sacrificial animal, pointing to the sacrifice of Christ as he gave his life for his people. And this is the legitimate, this is the prescribed law that God gave concerning the offering of incense on the Day of Atonement. And none others were qualified. It was only the high priest, and only once a year, as he pointed to Jesus himself. Well, let's go back to Revelation 8. And again, I'm going to read from verse 3. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. Now, isn't that interesting how God associates and identifies the offering up of the incense along with the prayers of the saints? And he says it twice, so we take note of it and not miss it, that there is some connection between this offering of the incense, which would be done inside the Holy of Holies, and especially relate to the Day of Atonement, with the prayers of the saints. Well, when we come back in our next Bible study, we're going to get into this in a little bit more detail and try and think about this some more, and see what God has in mind as he is directing us to consider the prayers of the saints.
Thanks for joining us for eBible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies. You can hear these studies Monday through Friday over Paltalk, Skype, eBible Fellowship's webcast audio, or over your phone. For more information or to hear other studies, visit www.ebiblefellowship.com. Until our next study, may the Lord's perfect will be done.